about financial literacy and what we should know and how we can do better and why we should do better. You know, everything evolves around the money that you take home, your paycheck or your savings, whatever it is that relates to the dollars that you have and how to keep them and how to make them work for you. One of the surprising topics and issues comes out of a couple of studies. You recall a couple of weeks ago we had Anna Maria Lissardi from the George Washington Global Financial Literacy Excellence Center talking about where we stand on worldwide in the United States in terms of financial literacy. And we ended up in about the 14th or 15th place. Not good enough, I submit to you, for the number one country in the world. Not good enough. We ought to be number one. Our kids ought to know more. We ought to have the most efficient system going, understood by the people that use it. But that's not the case. And then another study comes out that was released this month, and it's about millennials. And it's a study that was done by PricewaterhouseCoopers and the GW Global Financial Literacy Excellence Center. They were analyzing more than 5,500 millennials, and those are people that are born between in the 80s and 90s, and their attitudes and capabilities around financial literacy. And folks, I got to tell you, the results are not attractive. It's surprising. The takeaway is this, that millennials are still struggling to grasp basic financial concepts and is having an impact on their overarching financial well-being. Do you hear what I'm saying? They're not prepared. They're not ready. Listen to these numbers. 24% of this group demonstrated basic financial knowledge. Only 24%, not even a quarter, demonstrate basic financial knowledge. 81% have at least one source of long-term debt, and most of us know what that is. 48% felt they couldn't come up with $2,000 in the next month if they had to. 48%, almost half. And 67% make only the minimum payment or late payments on their credit cards every month. It is surprising numbers, scary numbers, I think. But what is the person that's responsible in part for this and who's trying to do something about it? What does she think? Shannon Schuyler, no surprise, a principal at PricewaterhouseCoopers. She's keenly involved with the U.S. corporate responsibility leader. That company has put their money where their mouth is, over $190 million. Directed toward making a positive difference in the financial literacy of our young people. Shannon, it's a pleasure to have you on the program today.
It's always wonderful to be with you, Paul.
I wanted to set the stage for you and then kind of let you tell us, first of all, your reaction to the study. Secondly, can we fix it? What do we need to do? Just let's go through these things and see how you felt. Were you surprised with the numbers?
I was surprised. I mean, I think this is a generation that went through the most recent downturn. And so when everything happened in 2008, 2009, 2010, saw their families losing their pensions, losing homes, had friends that were losing savings, you would have thought that they would have embraced that, similar to many of the baby boomers, and said, gosh, we have to be extra careful, and we have to really make sure that we're reading and we're saving. And really what we found is that's not happening. They really don't understand, as you had said, basic financial concepts, and only about 8% understand things that are more sophisticated around inflation or even risk diversification. So this is really what we see right now is the lowest level of financial literacy remains with the millennials, and that's even after really seeing the things that they've gone through with the economy and 17 states mandating financial literacy before they graduate for high school.
So the obvious answer is the fix, so that we stop this, so that the next generation, these young people that are now going through the process of, quote, education, get a fair share of financial literacy as well. What do we do here, Shannon, from your perspective?
Well, I think that there's a couple things that are at play. One, I think this generation is really an experiential generation, and they live for the now. They're not necessarily concerned with where their future is, which is why only 36% of them are actually accessing their retirement accounts within the organizations that they work for, and 20% are taking money out already from those. And so they're really using their money in those accounts more like a savings account versus something that lasts for the future. And I think it's having that conversation that they might not realize when they graduated from college, their debt most likely is far more significant than they really realized. And you compile that debt on top of credit cards, one or two that they had in college, and then have them starting out with a job and having to figure out rent and having to figure out transportation. Mm-hmm. I think what they're realizing is that together they were never prepared for what that is, as well as they really want a lifestyle that was similar to their parents. So all in all, it really is setting them up for failure.
Now, we're talking about millennials, folks, and that's the generation of Americans born between the early 1980s and the mid-1990s. While they are exceptional and they are wonderful in many ways, this is what Anna Maria Lusardi over at GW said. Millennials owe a lot. They know too little. They struggle with debt. Their struggle with debt may eventually become our problem, too. That's a scary thought, Shannon, and I mean, we have to find a fix.
No, we do, and I think it was really troubling in the survey to find out that they don't ask questions. And so all of this is happening, and yet they don't want to go to anyone. So they're not going to people who are formal trainers around financial literacy. They tend to go to their parents if they're going to go. And the other thing they really want is they would feel more confident if they were actually talking to a peer or a financial advisor that is of their age and understands why they want to have these experiences, and that's why they're spending their money. And unfortunately, there's not enough within the system that is of that age group to really allow colleagues to talk to colleagues. And so they're left by themselves, really having these conversations and being embarrassed by where they are.
We're talking with Shannon Schuyler, who is president at PricewaterhouseCoopers. And when we come back, I'm going to tell you what they're doing and what they hope to accomplish from this and what others can do. Look, we've got to do something. We call them millennials. We call them generations. We're talking about our children. We're talking about our future. We've got to do what's right. When we come back, we'll talk more with Shannon to find out what she thinks that is. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Barry. And my guest is Shannon Schuyler, Principal U.S. Corporation Responsibility Leader, PricewaterhouseCoopers, President of Charitable Foundations, etc. Now, there she's never going to toot her horn the way it should be, so I'm going to do that real quickly, and then we'll talk about how this can others can jump in and make a difference. In 2012, PwC launched what they called Earn Your Future, EYF, a five-year, $160 million commitment focused on helping students develop critical financial skills and providing educators with the resources and training to teach those skills in schools. In April of last year, PwC U.S. extended EYE by an additional $30 million, increasing it to now one of the largest and broadest corporate commitments to financial literacy. So she has a right to talk about it. And then the study. She and those who join her know that you have to know about a problem to fix it. And so I'm going to say what she won't say. Every corporation in this country ought to be doing something similar. I'm not asking for $190 million. But what are you doing to make sure that our young people are properly educated? And how do we fix the problems? Shannon, it would be helpful if we had more corporate involvement, don't you think?
Oh, I think so. I mean, I think corporations really have to understand the crushing debt that these students are becoming first year, second year within their corporations and figure out how to help. We recently launched a student loan pay down program that just is part of benefits, that if you come to work for PwC, we'll take care of up to $10,000 of your debt.
Wow.
Because the average debt is $35,000, and that's so much, and it's hard to start. And if we can take care of that and start paying that off over their first several years with the firm, it gives people a chance. And so I think between adding types of things like that to benefits and also adding employee programs around training for financial literacy, allowing open doors to have this conversation to let people know that they're not by themselves, but they have resources that can really help them. And really, companies can do all of those things right inside their doors.
And Shannon, my concern here, when we let kids graduate from college with tremendous debt, paying for college, they come out. Don't you tend to shy away from anything financial because you can't pay it, you don't have the money, you're looking for a job? I guess what I'm asking, does debt itself become one of the instruments that keeps our young people from learning how to be good financial literate people?
It starts a downward spiral, and so it shouldn't be surprising that 30% of this group also has overdrawn checking accounts. They have one or two credit cards, and as you said earlier, they only pay minimum, and many of those credit cards are also delayed in the paying for them. And now we're seeing a rise in alternative financial services, and so things like payday loans and pawn shops are being used more and more by this generation because they're so in debt and they're looking for money now to continue with the experiences and the things that they want to do. And so they're really exploring things that once or twice are certainly not bad options, but using those continuously really can get very costly and them in a worse place than they are right now.
And when you look at the overall statistic, I mean, they're unhappy with where they are, these young people. They want to do better. They want to feel better. And I think knowing that other people are in here besides mom and dad, they help them out. And that's what I applaud PwC for doing what they did, for saying to somebody, come to work for us. We're not only going to pay your paycheck, but we're also going to help you pay down your debt. I mean, that's the kind of spirit I think they have to see in order to believe, okay, I can get out of this. I can handle this.
No, this is, like you said, an amazing generation, but they're so financially fragile. But they really can leverage their technology savvy. There's so many things available, not only within their companies, but on the internet, that allow them to learn at their pace, learn in ways and with courses that really resonate with them. And we need to help them see all the variety of things out there that they can reach out to and find the ones that really are most applicable.
Shannon, let me stop you just a minute. Let's get back to that. Let me take a break. I've got to stop in here for just a minute, but we'll be right back with Shannon Schuyler and more about what we should be doing about millennials in our country. We're talking about a study that was commissioned, if you will, by PricewaterhouseCoopers, and we have one of their top executives, a president of their responsibility, their charitable foundations, and part of their principal with their corporate responsibility leader. PricewaterhouseCoopers is setting the standard, folks, for how corporations can be involved. And as I said before, they don't toot their own horn, but they just do what has to be done. They're paying out big sums of dollars, sharing some of that profit, saying, okay, it has to go here to make a difference, because we are a company of people. And without educated, qualified people, we can't do what we need to do. It's a simple give and take. Here's what we give to you. We get back and we take this from you. That works, and it's working for PricewaterhouseCoopers, isn't it, Shannon?
No, it absolutely is. And I think the one thing that we've really learned is this is about all types of millennials. There was a thought that once a millennial or individuals went to college, they actually had a grasp on this. And what we're finding is even though 85% of college-educated millennials are responding that they really understand financial concepts, only 14% of them answered all the questions right. And so it doesn't matter whether you've gone to college or not. These are things that you're not taught in school, and many people are not taught it at home. And so it takes more than a college education to just know what to do. And certainly employers should be there to help and to understand the dilemmas that these millennials are in.
I think, first of all, thank you for getting the study out there. Now that you have the study out there and everybody can look at it and read it and see what it says and understand it, what should happen now?
One, we certainly hope that more states and more schools move to financial literacy training throughout school. So this isn't about having one course your junior year and then you graduate. This is about embedding it from kindergarten through high school, because you only understand financial concepts when you actually put them into practice. So you're not going to know how to really leverage the stock market when it's time to use it when you're in the third or fourth grade. And so we got to make sure that people are learning things actually as the things are actually happening in their lives. And so hopefully more schools will adopt this. Hopefully more companies will really see the role that they play for these individuals coming to work for them. And certainly families will start to talk about this and realize that it can't be a taboo topic anymore.
No, it can't be. We've got to admit that we don't know what we don't know. And I love one of the things that I know PricewaterhouseCoopers is doing is training the trainers. You're actually making a difference with the teachers, saying, look, we'll help you become more qualified to teach financial literacy.
No, absolutely. I think one of the things is you throw this at teachers, and many of them don't understand the concepts necessarily, and we want to make sure we're helping them be more financially savvy, as well as teaching them things so they can readily pass it on. And so working very closely with the Knowledge at Wharton High School and others to bring teachers together by the thousands to educate them so they feel like they own this and they feel empowered to teach it.
Is it fixable?
I think that this is one of those things that is fixable. It's just about continuous training and making sure that people can access information when they can. And then it's also about trust. I think the financial systems over many years and even decades have lost some trust, and we have to find a way to really restore that and to guide people back to the financial systems that are really very positive and to allow them to trust that system.
I think the other thing that is really, I won't say scary, but as of concern, is where we as the number one country in the world end up when it comes to financial literacy. 14th on the list is not high enough, is it, Janet?
No, it's absolutely not. I mean, you look at the power that we have as a country, and you look at what our people do and the entrepreneurs that we have and the innovations that are coming out, and those things are amazing and truly leading the world. But if we can't get our act together around finances, around personally how do we manage and how are we accountable for what we sign and our dollars, it really has a whole ripple effect to the downfall of the economy.
The other part of that, of course, is that we can't just look across the street anymore and figure that's who we're competing against. You know very well, at PricewaterhouseCoopers, we're not competing with folks across the street, are we?
No. But it's been very interesting. Even the work that we've done and certainly started in the U.S., we've now translated our materials into four different languages. We're working with folks everywhere from Russia to Japan to Mexico and Brazil and Canada. And so this is an issue that people are really embracing and saying it breaks down walls because everybody understands how you can get yourself in this situation, and everyone is looking for really help to get out.
If people want more information on the study, where do they go, Shannon?
PwC.com/EYF.
Okay, folks, that's it, and I hope you do want more information. Shannon, we're glad you're there. We're glad that PwC is doing what it's doing. Continue to do that, and please come back and see us again, would you?
Absolutely.
Our delight to have you on the show. Shannon Schuyler, PricewaterhouseCoopers. Folks, they're making a difference. Studies are out there. Information is out there. We've shared it with you. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? When we come back, we'll tell you something else that you should know about millennials. Stay with us. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Barry.